Welcome to the Dearly Woven podcast. I'm your host, Casey Dow. This is the podcast all about making with fiber and the sheep who grow the wool we love to create with. Hi there, and welcome to episode 23. This week, my guest is Lynn Moody. Lynn raises Santa Cruz Island sheep at Blue Oak Canyon Ranch in California. Lynn shares how she came to start raising the Santa Cruz sheep, what their temperament is like, her favorite fiber craft, and what she likes to make with the wool from this rare breed. If you have a moment and would like to help support this podcast, I would love if you would leave a rating or review. Or if you would like a shirt and tote with the Heritage Sheep Journey logo on it, they are on my website, dearlywoven.com. I love bringing you these episodes full with all things sheep and fiber arts, and I appreciate all the love and support I've gotten so far. Now, go grab a fiber art project or a good cup of coffee, or both, and let's jump into the interview with Lynn. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today, Lynn. I'm so excited to talk with you.
And I'm excited to talk with you too.
Can you start off by introducing yourself and how you got started raising Santa Cruz Island sheep?
Yes, I'd be happy to. My name is Lynn Moody, and I'm proud to be a shepherd of our flock of about 100 sheep, and most of them are Santa Cruz Island sheep. I'm also a knitter and a spinner and a weaver. I think I acquired those skills in about that order. And I'm an animal lover, so that's where the sheep, and we also have a few llamas. We started out some years back, I guess about 1999, with Navajo Churro sheep, and we didn't do such a great job on picking our initial breeding stock. So there are people around that were doing a much better job of breeding these sheep to the breed standards than we were, so we decided to retire from Navajo Churros and look for another sheep that also needed conserving. We've been members of the Livestock Conservancy for a number of years. So I looked on their conservation list and determined that several breeds were most critically in need of preserving. So there happened to be a gentleman that lived within reasonable driving distance of us who had advertised himself as having Santa Cruz Island sheep. So we acquired our initial flock, our starter flock, I guess you could say, of about 9 sheep from him. And then we got a few more ewes from a ranch in Santa Paula, California. We got a couple rams from another ranch in Oregon. And then about a year and a half ago, in the meantime, of course, we were breeding, you know, trying to do our part in sheep preservation. Mm-hmm. And about a year and a half ago, we heard that there was a flock in Northern California that needed to find a new home. So we took those sheep in too. So the combination of our breeding efforts and this new flock of about 40 sheep brought us up to about 100 sheep.
Wow.
I know. Been quite a journey.
Yes. Now, I know you mentioned the llamas. Do you use them as your livestock guardian animals?
We do. Actually, we had a herd of llamas before we got sheep. And that's another story. but yeah, they're pretty good. They're kind of predisposed to not liking canines. So they're pretty good guard animals against the coyotes and any stray dogs that happen along. Now our llamas, we only have 4 left, and they're pretty old girls now. So I think they're mostly a deterrent. They represent more of a threat to the coyotes than they really pose. So we don't have livestock guardian dogs. I try to fill that niche as well as I can. So,
mm-hmm. Now, how would you describe the Santa Cruz Island sheep's temperament?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. They're very interesting sheep. They're very intelligent. And I think because they and their ancestors were feral for so many generations, they evolved themselves to be very wary. Santa Cruz Island is very mountainous. It's basically just an extension of a mountain chain off the coast of California, off the mainland of California. So it's very steep terrain, kind of lush in areas and kind of barren in other areas. But the sheep develop themselves to be very hardy, to be very agile and fast. And as I mentioned briefly, they're very intelligent. And so they can outmaneuver me with, you know, one leg tied behind their backs, as it were.
Now, what is your primary purpose? I know you want to help conserve this breed. What else is your purpose for raising them? For fiber, for meat? What would you say?
Well, like you said, our main goal is to preserve the breeds of sheep, but they have to pay their way a bit in order to help us do that. Mm-hmm. So our main marketing product is their wool. And we sell a lot of raw fleeces. And we also, I send a fair amount of wool to a mill in Northern California that turns it into a beautiful roving. And then we've experimented a little bit with another couple mills to make mill spun yarn. And then I do a lot of hand spun yarn, a fair amount that we also sell. So occasionally we sell breeding stock, but the main product is wool in various stages.
And how would you describe their wool? Do they have guard hairs?
They don't have guard hairs as such. I guess you'd say their development through the generations that they were, since their ancestors were brought to the island. They've reverted back to some primitive characteristics for their wool, but they don't have guard hairs. Their wool is tends to be very fine, I think due to their Merino and Rambouillet ancestry, which is the main ancestors of these sheep. And it's very, very crimpy. It has a very small wavelengths, very short wavelengths, and very short amplitude, but very crimpy, which gives us a nice, real stretchy and elastic yarn. It's very soft and a very next to skin quality, but it tends to have a short staple. And so it's very interesting for that. Some of the sheep evolve themselves to be shedders.
Oh, okay. So do you tend to start shearing before they start shedding the wool themselves?
Yeah, our goals in shearing is to try to beat that, try to get ahead of that curve. And we're pretty, I guess, pretty successful in doing that. But the wool is often as short as maybe an inch staple. A lot depends on the sheep. The wool has a lot of genetic variation, and it also comes in colors, different shades of brown, and as well as white. It's a lot of fun to work with, but finding a mill that will handle it. A lot of the mills have, you know, the cottage industry and commercial mills have a staple minimum of about 3 inches. And occasionally we can get a 3-inch staple from some of our sheep, but for the most part, it tends to be about 1.5 to 2.5 inches.
Okay. Yeah. I know that the mills usually have a minimum. So that's nice that you've been able to find a mill that will help you process it.
Yeah, we're members. Our ranch is a member of the Northern California Fiber Shed, which is another interesting story. And there's a mill in Ukiah, California, which is way north. It's a fairly new mill, and they're very adventurous, and they're very happy to experiment and try different things and different fibers. So we were really fortunate in finding them.
Yeah, that's really nice. Now, I know on your website, and you mentioned that you knit and you spin and you weave. Out of all the fiber crafts that you do, do you have a favorite?
That's a good question. I like very much spinning, and I often will market handspun yarn. I started out as a knitter. I guess if I had to pick a favorite, it would be knitting. But I've fairly recently began weaving, but I weave rigid heddle loom.
Okay.
I can use the Santa Cruz Island sheep for warp and as well as weft on that kind of loom, because you don't have to exert so much tension as you would on, say, a floor loom.
Mm-hmm. What would you say your favorite thing is to make with the Santa Cruz Island wool?
I've knitted for myself. I've knitted a couple vests, which are fun, and they go pretty fast because they don't have sleeves. Right now, I'm working on a jacket, a knitted jacket from the Santa Cruz Island fleece, and I've got the back done, but not the fronts yet or the sleeves. As far as weaving on the rigid heddle, I really like weaving scarves, and I love to see how the different colors play around with each other on the loom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's relevant, but I also like to experiment with dyeing,
mm-hmm.
Mostly natural dyeing, plant dyes and cochineal, things like that. I find that the white Santa Cruz Island wool takes the dye really, really well.
That's awesome. How is your pasture set up with them? Do you use any electro netting or do you have permanent fencing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked because I was forgetting to talk about that. But yeah, we have both. We have kind of the southern edge of our ranch. We have fenced off with permanent fencing into three sheep pastures, plus a couple areas of olive trees. And the sheep pastures right now, one of them has rams in it. And the other two we use for our flock of ewes and wethers and lambs. And then we just recently started, just late last year, we've started targeted grazing, which is where we use a combination of permanent fencing and electric fencing to move our sheep around to areas that we want them to graze. One thing about these sheep that is really great is that they are browsers as well as grazers. And in fact, when we let them into a new field, they'll go for the shrubs first rather than the grass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think that has to do with their evolution on Santa Cruz Island. But anyway, so we're doing targeted grazing, and mostly we use electric fencing for that to keep the sheep in and hopefully keep the coyotes out.
Mm-hmm. Can you share what the biggest challenge was for you personally when you started raising sheep?
Well, we supplement feed them with alfalfa hay, which we can get sometimes locally. And the price of that has just kept going up and up and up. So that's one of the challenges. But I think that's a challenge that just about every person who raises livestock faces.
And I mean, for you, you guys don't get a lot of rainfall either, correct?
That's correct. We get maybe, if we get 10 inches, you know, a year, we consider that to be a really good year. We're in an arid area of California, and we have pretty cold winters. We get down into the teens sometimes at night or just before dawn. And in the summer, it's not unusual at all for us to get up into the hundreds. So there are certain times of the year, mostly when the pastures and even the brush is dried out, that we have to supplement feed, especially because if we're trying to keep up the wool quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the feed costs are an issue. The sheep are really hardy, so they watch after themselves health-wise really well. But we do have a fair amount of predator pressure, mostly coyotes. We also have bobcats, and there are rumors of mountain lions, although thank goodness we haven't seen any mountain lions yet. I'd say overall, probably the predator pressure is, if anything, it's what keeps me awake at night. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what would you say has been the most rewarding thing for you for raising specifically the Santa Cruz Island sheep?
I would say getting to know these sheep and their unique characteristics, and getting to know their wool and working with their wool. The knowledge that we are helping out the world a little bit. Like, there's a lot of endangered wild animals, of course. And, you know, other than using our purchase power and trying to be good conservationists and good land managers ourselves, there's really not too much we can do to help out the endangered wild animals. But by golly, we can do a lot to help out the endangered livestock. So that means a lot to us.
Yes. Yes, I agree very much with that. It's just the beginning of the year is when I found out, you know, there is all these endangered livestock because you don't hear about it. You hear about all the endangered wildlife. And until I came across the Shave 'em to Save 'em program, I just had no clue about the endangered livestock. So I think it's something that is so important, and it's wonderful what you are doing.
Yeah, I'm not registered in the Shave 'em to Save 'em program as a fiber artist. I am as a producer, of course, but I've experimented with different wools, spinning and knitting or weaving with different wools. And I'm amazed at, you know, how much variation there is. Each one is important, and each one has unique characteristics, and each one is useful for something and, you know, usable for garments or utilitarian objects, you know, for the home. So it's really exciting getting to know some of the different kinds of wool.
Yes, I've been enjoying it.
But of course, I like Santa Cruz Island the best.
Oh, of course. I feel like a lot of people have like their one certain breed. And then of course there's the others that have a couple of the different heritage breeds. But I feel like the ones that, you know, they're focusing on preserving this one breed, of course, they gotta be your favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be committed.
Yes. Now, do you have any advice that you might give an aspiring or a new shepherd getting into raising a sheep, or maybe even specifically a heritage breed of sheep?
Yeah, I guess my first piece of advice would be, yeah, do it. And that would go for any breed of sheep. I would say don't plan on getting rich, you know, certainly not right away, but plan on having a very interesting life. And I don't know, sheep, I think sometimes sheep have a reputation of being stupid. And my experience has been that they're not. They're just as intelligent as any other kind of animal. But they think differently than we do. They're all about the flock. You know, they're a little bit different mm-hmm. from horses and dogs and all, but they're all about the flock. Yeah, so in general, advice for new shepherds or people contemplating shepherds, I'd say, yeah, jump in, do it. As far as doing a heritage breed, and in particular, those that are critical on the list, have a realistic idea of your resources. Have enough land that you can support a flock, you know, no matter how big or how small. Think about your objectives. Understand you're probably not going to get rich right away off the Santa Cruz Island sheep, but plan on putting a fair amount of energy into promoting them. For my own experience, I've almost never turned down an opportunity to talk about them or to participate in local educational events, which unfortunately lately, of course, have had to been canceled because of the COVID-19 business. But I spend a fair amount of time in, you know, thinking about marketing and participating in educational events, and I really enjoy it. So I'd say that's got to be a part of the plan, and it's got to be right in there with the objectives. Yeah. So other bits of advice, look at your facilities, look at your condition of your fences. If you have neighbors close by with dogs, encourage them to manage their dogs so that, you know, they don't roam around the area. Watch out for predators. Yeah, you know, that all kind of practical stuff. When it rains, they'll tolerate rain and snow, I believe, for that matter. But it's good to have a shelter where they can, you know, get in away from the weather if they need to. And shade and fresh water, you know, all of that, especially in hot climates like where I live, all that is really important. And the quality of the feed and so on. Santa Cruz Island sheep, like a lot of the heritage breeds, can do quite well on foods that, I guess, cattle and most of the kind of well-known, you know, commercial breeds probably wouldn't look at, but they do real well. It helps that they're browsers as well as grazers.
Yeah. Now, do you even let them lamb out on pasture? You don't bring them in or anything?
Oh, yeah. We range lamb. I like to confine them to a certain one of our sheep pastures that I mentioned earlier, one of the ones on the south edge of our ranch, which is bordered on one side by a fairly well-traveled road. And on the other side, there's a buffer zone between where most of the predators hang out and the sheep pasture. So I like to get them into there to lamb when it's lambing season. But I don't confine them into pens for the most part. We had one ewe, which she was a great mother. She passed away a month or so ago, unfortunately. She was quite old, one of our original flock, but she was such a good mother that when she was getting close to lambing, her hormones would kick in and she would try to steal lambs from other ewes. So her, we would have to confine. It was pretty funny. But yeah, it all worked out. Everybody's fine. Yeah. And then once her own lamb was born, or lambs, because she used to twin occasionally, then she was happy.
She'd leave the other mamas alone with their babies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only a problem if the mother of the lamb in question is a new mother, and then she would get very confused and the lamb would get very confused and it was all kind of sad. So sometimes we would have to confine either the new mother and her lamb or the older ewe, but we always managed mm-hmm. to get it to work out.
Oh, Well, is there anything that I didn't ask you that maybe you wanted to share about the Santa Cruz or your farm?
You know, because of the COVID-19, we had to cancel our ranch events. We had a few scheduled. We recently finished a sheep barn that we were going to use, in addition to sheltering the sheep from the rain, we were going to use it as a venue for a few events, which we unfortunately had to cancel because of the COVID-19. And our local town, which is a very small town, had to cancel some educational and events and some craft fair kind of stuff. But hopefully that stuff will get up and running again soon. In the meantime, we have a website, which I think you know about. It's www.blueoakcanyonranch.com. And I don't update it as often as I should, but I do update it once in a while. And it's got lots of pictures of the sheep and so on, and some links to some other educational information.
Yeah, I was going to mention, I watched your video that you did at one of the Fiber Shed events about the history on the Santa Cruz. So I was going to make sure to link it in the show notes of the podcast so others can watch it, because I thought it was great information.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'd really appreciate that. And I'm sure the Fiber Shed would too. Casey, what state are you in?
I am in Virginia.
Oh, okay. So it's not likely you're going to come out here and visit once in a while. But, well, if you're ever in the area, do stop by.
Yeah, I would love to. I keep telling my husband, once our kiddos are a little bit bigger, I would love to travel the country and visit all the sheep farms.
Yeah. There's also a really long video. I think it's about 2 hours long, that's on YouTube, about the removal of the sheep from Santa Cruz Island. And I can't remember the exact link, but it's easy to find. The title is something like Sheep Removal from Santa Cruz Island. It's kind of an amazing video if someone has 2 hours. Of course, you don't have to watch the whole thing all at once, but it's goes along with the history of the sheep, and you also get some idea of what kind of environment the sheep developed in. So it's really interesting. So I'd highly recommend that video.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up, and I'll make sure to, if I find it, I'll make sure to link that as well.
Yeah.
Would you like to share your Instagram in case somebody would like to follow you on there?
Oh, yeah, sure. I was almost forgetting about that. Yeah, we're at Blue Oak Canyon Ranch, and it's all in small letters. On Instagram, some of my older posts, there's some short videos of the sheep and so on, and maybe on the website too.
All right. Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Lynn, for joining me today on the podcast and being willing to share all about the Santa Cruz Island sheep. They sound like such amazing and interesting sheep.
Yeah, they are. They're great sheep. Yeah. And thank you for hosting me on this.
I had a great time talking to Lynn and learning about the Santa Cruz Island sheep. They sound like amazing sheep, and their fiber sounds like so much fun to work with. Lynn's passion for preserving this breed definitely shined through during the interview, and I loved her advice about jumping into raising heritage breeds of sheep, but to think about your objectives when it comes to raising them. I will have Lynn's website in the show notes, as well as the two videos mentioned during the interview. Alrighty, that's it for this episode. Until next time, take care and keep creating with fiber.